Angela and I studied together with the same teacher and did a concert together, and then we got to be friends. And when she moved back to Montana, asked me if I would mind getting involved in this endeavor. And it happened to coincide with the time that I have been thinking about what, in fact, could I personally do to help the Haitian effort. More than just donating clothes or money, you know, I wanted to be more proactive, and this was a grand opportunity to do so.
Haiti has long since disappeared from the headlines, but it's not out of the mind of people who, like Gary and Angela, have been involved since the catastrophe. It's still a country very much in need of aid.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a very interesting situation because, politics always plays a part in any of these things. And unfortunately, sometimes it gets in the way of the progress of getting and receiving help. I don't know why things were so slow in evolving, and I don't know why it continues to be so slow. I am happy that, you know, people like Gary and Angela continue to be vigilant in their cause to want to help. It brings to me in mind of so many things. I mean, you know, one of the things that made me want to be more involved with Haiti is John Donne, you know, "No man is an island, each man is my brother, each man is my friend. Each man's joy brings joy to me, each man's grief is my own. When something devastating happens around the world, there are far too many people who continue to have a them and us mentality. Well, it's too bad, but it didn't happen to me. It doesn't affect us. Well, I think that we now live in a world where I don't think it's ever been true, but especially not true now, because whatever happens over there has a ripple effect over here, one way or another, economically, spiritually. We want to do something about it. I mean, and if you really care about humanity, your own humanity, as well as your neighbor's reality, humanity, you have to embrace it in a way that, you know, to do what we can. I mean, that's the calling. We, as citizens, as human beings, want to be helpful in whatever way we can.
And, of course, Wood for Haiti is a very tangible project. This is a project to take Montana wood, pine beetle killed wood, and use it to build homes in Haiti, which is something
that desperately... Isn't that a fantastic idea? I mean, because it kills two birds. I mean,
it's good for Montana.
In a wonderful way.
It's good
for Montana. It's good for Haiti. There's a wonderful reciprocity about it. You know, you can feed a man, but if you teach him how to fish, he can feed himself. And that's part of what the ripple effect of this is, not only teaching, you know, giving jobs to Americans, giving jobs to Haitians, teaching them how to use this wood and build with this wood and create with this wood, ultimately reestablishing the forest there, so that they'll be able to grow their own trees and be able to, you know, keep this process going.
I want to talk now a bit with our remaining time about your own career. Reading about all the things you've done in your career, it's amazing diversity. You've been in about every medium: television, film, theater, video games, voiceovers.
I've been lucky like that.
You're not picky.
I'm choosy, but I'm not picky.
You have done voiceovers to the point where you've won an Emmy for your voiceover work, and I know many people who are fans of Ken Burns would recognize your voice. You've done narration for some of his excellent documentaries, including War.
Yes. I've done probably six Ken Burns projects now, he's one of my favorite directors to work with. I love what Ken goes after in his subject matter, And I love the way he does it. I mean, he's probably the most prolific documentarian in the country, if not around the world. And I just love, I mean, I have certainly come to love his particular degree of meticulousness. I mean, I love it. It's amazing to work with a director who knows exactly what they want. Ken knows exactly what he wants. And
great scripts, too,
and great
for those
documentaries,
aren't
they?
Yeah, I mean, great
it's
stories.
Wonderful things to say. I mean, and, you know, very rarely, if ever, do I have to say, well, can this be put any better? And very often, I mean, yesterday, for example, I did a script, and I kept having to say, well, is this what you mean? Because this is a kind of convoluted sentence. I mean, I'm going to try to make this work, but it's awfully, it's too complex. You can simplify the way you want to say this. Or I'll say it the way you want it, the way you've written it, but it's not very clear. I've never had to say that to Ken.
He doesn't need a lot of editing, does he?
Well, so he may need some editing, but it's only to make the point clearer. Also, I mean, he does such great research. Finally, you have to edit because you can't say everything.
Do you have any career dreams, Mr. David, yet that aren't fulfilled? You've done so much.
Oh, I want to direct a movie. I want to produce a movie.
Do you have a theme
in
mind?
I have parts that I want to play. Any of several. I mean, you know, I want to play a detective. I mean, I've played a detective, but I want to really, you know, a la Sam Spade. But there's one particular character I have in mind. I won't mention him because I'm trying to get that into works right now. But it's a particular character I have in mind who's fascinating, just fascinating. You know, great author, great writing. You want to be a part of that, you know, because when it's on the page, it's so much easier to act. In fact, when it's on the page, I don't have to act.
We're very pleased that you've come to Montana to do the work you're doing for Wood for Haiti, and it's just been a pleasure to speak with you about that project and also about your own career, and look forward to your future work, whether it's directing a movie or doing all the million other things that you do. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that.